Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's 20th July and we are at episode 58. And before we start our show, I want to say, God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. You know, beautiful listeners out there, I'm reminded about our matriarchs and patriarchs in the Old Testament. When they would go to war and they cannot anymore in their own strength defeat their enemies. They put their tools down. They put their spears down. They put their swords down and they say, God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. And when they do that, the goodness of the Lord and the mercies of God come upon them and they defeat their enemies. And so when you think life has got you down and you can't go anywhere in life, just be like David and say, God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. You will understand what it means to say, God, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my defender, my God in whom I trust. Hallelujah. And today we've got beautiful Myrtle, Sharon Shanaz, Nelly, and myself, the host of Work on Air. And we are going to be talking about women, let your own works praise you at the city gates. I want us to introduce our air crew just to find out how they are doing. Shanaz, talk to us. How are you this beautiful Thursday?
Good day, beautiful Angelina, the air crew and the listeners. I am blessed and highly favored by the Lord. I'm just so grateful for His presence in my life and grateful for His strength in my life. Thank you, Angelina.
Awesome. Our beautiful, beautiful Nelly, businesswoman. She's a pastor. She empowers people in leadership. How are you, strong Nelly, this evening?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Today, I feel so blessed. I thank God and I thank God that we have been through a week that was so cold, but we are still here and we give God the glory. Thank you, Angelina.
Hallelujah. Yes, for some of our listeners out there, South Africa doesn't really get snow often, and especially not in Gauteng. But we got to have a little bit of some snowflakes the other day here in our very own yard. So I was actually very, very excited. Myrtle, how is the cold doing for you, my friend?
Good day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Angelina, thank you. I am blessed and favored by God. And I love the Lord. And I hope everybody's going to be blessed with our topic today.
Wonderful. So Myrtle's basically saying to us that the love of God and the goodness of God warms her up, so she's not even feeling the cold. Sharon, how are you, my friend?
Good day, listeners. Hi, Angelina. Warm greetings to our listeners, to the ladies. Very well, Angelina. I'm so excited because of God's grace. You know, when you walk through a week and God carries you and you experience the love and the mercy of God, but most of all, the presence of God, it excites you because you know and experience His faithfulness. So tonight there's a gratitude in my heart of His goodness and of His mercy, and to know that to be able to be with our listeners today and just to love God with them, I think that's the greatest thing for me today.
Wow. Thank you, beautiful, beautiful Sharon. Yes. And, you know, as we come together as an air crew and inspire our listeners, we want them to know today that when we refresh them, we ourselves get refreshed every Thursday night. I don't know about my air crew, but with me after a air show, I get so refreshed. I'm just so energized. I remembered Myrtle telling us last week when she'd finished her air show, she went and she did cooking very late at night and she did cleaning. That she had so much of energy as she refreshed others. And the Bible says that when we refresh others, we ourselves get refreshed. So Gospel for Grampian listeners, as these Proverbs 31 women come to you today, we want you to know that when we serve you, we get refreshed. Today, what we are going to be asking our beautiful air crew, what does Proverbs 31 mean to each of them in their roles as mothers, single professional, businesswoman, wife? Even though our air crew have multiple caps on, pastors and wives and mothers and vocations, there is a quality of Proverbs 31 women for all of them, be it they are single, married, widow, or mother, professionally qualified. There is a quality in them that exhibits a Proverbs 31 woman. And so our panelists today are going to talk about a quality that is relevant to any woman listening on air today. We want you to know, Gospel for Grampian listeners or our Podbean listeners, that the qualities of being a woman was written in the book of life, which is the Bible. When we go into reading Proverbs 31, women, when we look at verse 11, it says she's trustworthy. Verse 12, she has positive influence. Verse 13, 14, 19, 24, 27, it says she's a hard worker. Verse 21, 22, she's a planner and she's responsible. Verse 27, she's prudent. She sees the danger ahead and acts now. Verse 31, she's independent. Verse 26, she's wise and loyal. All of these qualities tells me that she's an asset. She's an asset to her family, an asset to the communities, an asset to her husband. And when we go into verse 13, it says she's diligent. The word of God says she's compassionate, she's kind, she's caring. We look at verse 20, she's generous. She's strong, confident, dignified, honorable. Verse 21, she's fearless. Verse 30 and 26, she's got reverential respect toward God. That's telling me she's got good, positive attitude. When we look at verse 20, we see that she helps the poor and needy. Verse 16, she invests in the household. Verse 17, she keeps herself in good shape in order to fulfill her task successfully. Verse 23, her independence makes room for her while her husband plays a prominent role in government or regulation in the city. And that's telling me that she's accomplished. She has a business of her own. She finds purpose. She's not idle. And she earns returns on her investment. She sees a good investment and she invests in it. She's accomplished. A woman of noble character is a woman of distinction. She's responsible, valuable, supportive, compassionate, caring, kind, generous. She's a helpmate. She's a community builder. Royal daughters. And the Bible says that. The Bible says that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says the kingdom of God is here within. If you're not sure what this means, we want to encourage you to listen to our Podbean of 13 July, where we talk about the tabernacle of God. That is our royal palace. The royal palace is within us. For now, it is in our spirit man. But when Jesus comes and we get transfigured in an eternal body, then we will be able to see permanently the royal palace that is a spiritual kingdom that is eternal. We comprehend our royal position and royal dwelling in the most holy place at the right-hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus. And many of us can't discern that because we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. When we discern our spiritual kingdom, we understand we are royalty. Then we can renew our mindset to this reality. And we then in the natural begin to walk, talk, and have a protocol that is of a royal mandate. The Old Testament says it is a shadow of the new life. The Old Testament physical reality in the New Testament is a spiritual kingdom. How they lived in the physical, we have that spiritual kingdom. And when we begin to understand the kingdom of God that has been brought in the spiritual dimension on earth, we can walk in who we are as royal daughters. If you think I'm out of line, let me just use some scripture to confirm that we are living in a spiritual kingdom and God expects us in the natural to live out that kingdom standard. Isaiah 66:1 says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you could build for me? And where is the place that I may rest?" So here God is saying, heaven has a throne. That is telling me that God has a kingdom. God has a monarchy system in place. That means our sovereign God, the creator of the universe, is a king of a monarchy system. Apostle John in Revelations testifies about his experience in Revelations 4:2. "Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne." Here we read that in the spirit, John saw God's kingdom in heaven, and God was sitting on a throne. This is telling us that God has a kingdom, and he sits on a heavenly kingdom throne. These two scriptures confirm the monarch system. And that is the kingdom of God that can be spiritually discerned. When we are awakened by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God teaches us how to experience the most holy place, which is where God is. We fellowship in the throne room of grace in time of need. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus sits at the right hand side of the throne room, at the right hand side of the Father." So when we are sitting at the right hand side of God, that's telling us that we are royalty. Notice the scripture doesn't say that we will sit at the right hand. It says, "And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So when Jesus was resurrected and we became born again, we have now been raised into a royal status, sitting at the right hand side of the Father in the throne room of grace. We are royalty. Okay? When we comprehend the most holy place, then we begin to walk in a royal, dignified manner because we discern the kingdom of God within and we understand what it is to be fellowshipping in the throne room of grace. Like beautiful Nelly said it last week. You have to go listen to 13th July Work on Air show as Nelly spoke about the most holy place. That is the throne room of grace, and that is where our daddy sits. We can stay in that place and fellowship with the Father. We understand our mandate as royal daughters. We can then begin to look at Proverbs 31 and say, no, it is not a difficult thing for me to live out the standard. Because as God's daughter, it is a requirement. And by His grace, I can be all that Proverbs 31 woman rule. 1 Peter 2 says, "But you are a chosen generation." Peter is saying this. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now here, God is telling us through Peter that our royalty, we are chosen, we are holy. That means Proverbs 31 women that King Lemuel's mother spoke about. She spoke about the royal daughter nature. She was referring to a natural daughter conduct. She was talking to a woman that qualifies to be a royal daughter. When we became born again and understand we are God's daughters, that qualities in Proverbs 31 woman is the expectation of how we should behave in the natural. That is why Paul said, do not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. The reason we walk in the Spirit is so that we walk as royal daughters. In the flesh, we will never be able to live up to the standard of a Proverbs 31 woman. But only when we walk in the Spirit, we will not carry out the ways of a carnal woman. I love the scripture. I'm trying to think now if I can remember it. A wise woman builds a house, but a foolish woman pulls it down. As royal daughters, we are wise women. We build for eternity. We have an eternity mindset. We have a legacy mindset. A foolish woman has a self mindset, a now mindset, a selfish mindset. But when we walk in the Spirit, we begin to fulfill our mandate as royal daughters. So having said that, today I want to ask our beautiful air crew, what does it feel like to be a royal single daughter of God, a royal mom, a royal businesswoman, and a royal wife? I'm going to start with Sharon. Sharon, as a daughter of the Most High God, enlighten us. What does it feel like to be a royal, single, professional daughter of the living God?
Thank you, Angelina. I think the greatest blessing of being a royal daughter of God is understanding the ownership over my life that belongs to God. It's understanding that as I abide in Proverbs 31, that My life belongs to God, that God has lordship over my life. Just as Boaz came and he spread his mantle over Ruth, when she was lying there as a single adult. So God comes and he spreads his mantle of authority, his mantle of lordship over my life as a single professional, that I can abide in the warmth of God, that I can abide in his grace, that I can, you know, Proverbs says, where she speaks about that, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong, that I can dress myself in the power of God, but also in the strength of God, where it says in the word in John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It takes you back to that place as a daughter of God, as royalty, that I need to abide in my Father and in that, so that I can walk to that place of understanding how to abide in God, how to walk in God. I am reminded of Mary, how Mary stood when the angel of the Lord was with her, where she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. And where Mary, where the angel of the Lord greeted her and he said to her, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That as I stand in that place of Proverbs 31, as I stand as a single adult, as a professional, I can take God in the glory of God. The word says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. You know, to walk into the professional world, walking knowing that I am royalty, knowing that I am favored of the Lord, knowing that God has covered not only me, but as I look at my weaknesses, as I deal with things in my daily life, that even in that God partakes, that I can put on the strength of God. I can put on the grace of God. I can put on the love of God, you know, and clothe myself with the purpose and the mantle of God. You know, where Mary declared that it shall be unto her according to the word of God, to stand in that place as a single professional, understanding that strength and dignity is my clothing, as Proverbs 31 says, and that I can laugh and have joy, open my mouth in wisdom, but knowing in that place that God is there, that everything enables you, it is God, to live and move and have my being in God, and to understand for us as the crew, but also for our listeners, to know that if I want to flourish as a royal priest to the holy nation, if I want to flourish as a royal daughter of God, to remain in him, to love and move and have my being in him. Because in verse 29 says, many have done excellency, but you have surpassed them all. You know, where you learn that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. To walk in the professional world and know that I fear the Lord. To walk in that place and know that God is God. To walk in that place and know that, Father, I'm not standing here in my own strength. I'm not standing here in Proverbs 31 in my own strength. But, Father, I stand in you. And out of you, Lord, in the city gates, my life will bear fruit, not because of me, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the excellence of God, his royalty and his majesty. That excites me. And that excites me to know that in intimacy, I can stand at the city gates and know that he is God, and know that he is king over our lives, and that in all of that we bear fruit. And my encouragement for the single ladies are, or for professionals, is you are not alone when you walk. It is that intimate place with God and that royalty, that understanding of belonging that brings clarity. It brings identity. It brings prayer. It brings a declaration with God. It gives me the ability to walk with God as a professional. It gives me a surety. It gives all of our listeners a surety of who they are. It gives identity, security, but most of all, stability. A profound peace with God, that we're walking in him. And as a professional, that I can walk in Proverbs 31, and know I am that virtuous woman, not because of me, but who God is in me. Thank you, Angelina.
Wow, thank you so much, Sharon. What stood out for me, Sharon, in what you said is charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, Sharon, I'm reminded about Acts 9:31, when the apostles prospered. The Bible says that in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they multiplied. And I love what you're saying, because that is consistent to what you've just said now in this verse, that if young professional single women want to prosper, or single women want to prosper, they have to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That is the secret of success. Thank you, Sharon. Our beautiful Myrtle, a royal mom. What does it feel like to be a royal mother in Christ Jesus?
Thank you, Angelina. Gospel for Grampian listeners, I'm going to speak about motherhood. Who God made me as a mother. Thank you, Father, that you created me as a mother in your image. Thank you that you created mankind and that you made Eve a woman that started motherhood. Thank you for the mother you have made me with my own character and my own uniqueness. Over the years, you shaped me into a godly mother that can allow God to love, bless, and encourage my friends through me as a mother nature. I wasn't always this perfect mother. When I met Jesus, he began his good work in me, and it continues until I meet my Jesus as a mother, and I grow in wisdom, grace, and glory until Jesus returns. You know, Gospel for Grampian listeners, motherhood doesn't start when you give birth to a child. Motherhood starts when you find your identity in Jesus Christ, your Creator. The matriarch spirit begins to be shaped by our new nature in God. I personally learned to be a good mother through my relationship in God. Outside God, we are all selfish human beings. A material instinct is shaped beautiful in God, not in self. Mothers who don't have Christ as their anchor ride the waves of worry, anxiety, insecurity, vulnerabilities of the nature challenges. I was there. I had weight challenges. House spick and span, perfect perfection syndrome. My family could not even enjoy their home without me nitpicking on keeping the house perfectly clean. My house was not a home until I met Jesus. Come on, ladies. Let's get real. We become so proud of having a trophy home that we shine the home and forget to allow it to be a comfortable for our family to live in. My family used to be scared to touch an item in my house or cook, because if anything in the house was out of place or not perfectly placed, I went mad. I cared more about perfect home than a perfect family until I met Jesus. My motherhood began to change, and it gracefully transformed into a mother that my kids are drawn to than running away from. Nobody can make you think that motherhood is your job title. No, motherhood is a way of life. It's not a job title. Motherhood means fruitful, purpose, life-giving. What does the Bible say about the nature of God and the mothers? Proverbs 31:25-29 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the days to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children raise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her as well. Believe me, moms, that this is how God described us mothers. None of us started out as perfect moms until Jesus came in our home and taught us how to be good moms. Ask me, I can testify of that. Mothers, we must give our children what God says they need. God knows best. Therefore, instead of being manipulated by our kids and getting hurt and offended later on, let God be the nature and director of all that our children need through us as moms. I have learned to submit to God in motherhood, and God teaches me how to be a good mother. I have been a single parent for 19 years, widowed at the age of 44, and I have had to learn by God's grace over time how to bring up my teenage boys, then to now, God's way. Saying no, something hurts, but it's for their good. I am 63 years of age, and I am still learning through Christ how to be a mom God's way to my babies, who are big boys. Christo is 36 of age, and Eugene 40. Yes, I have a beautiful grandbaby, and even in grandparenting, Jesus is teaching me how to be a grandmother. Our journey of motherhood gets better as our grandbabies come along. With Holy Spirit as my coach, as a mother, I proclaim Psalm 26:12 that says, my foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. I have also learned importantly that my help is coming from God, and I thank God. Psalm 121, verse 2 and 3, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Lean on Jesus. He's always there for you. What I always learned in life is that you need people around you to support you in your journey of Christian motherhood. There's a saying that says, it takes a village to raise a child. There is such a lot of truth in this statement. Mothers need the support of the community. As a godly mother, you know how to fellowship with others. I needed a lot of Christian mothers around me on my journey of motherhood to support me and to pray with me. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. As a Christian mother, these are 8 scriptures I meditate on to help me to grow in motherhood. Point number 1, I always put God first in everything I do, even if I go into the grocery shop. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Point 2, I do everything, work, parenting, friendship, to honor God. This sets the example to my kids around an honorable way of living. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Point number three. As a mother, kindness toward my kids is an important quality towards their ways of life. If I am selfish and not kind to them, then I am rearing up selfish kids through my unkind pattern of life. So, as a mom, I must express kindness toward all my kids. My favorite scripture to remind me to be kind is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as Christ also have given you. Then point number four. As a mom, I need God in order to ensure my big precious sons are God protected. So I like Job. I intercede and pray for my children and grandbabies and daughters-in-laws. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Point number five. As a mom now, this is how I speak matters. It directs the atmosphere and upbringing standard for my kids. I must know how to tame my tongue. So I love using this scripture to remind me to speak life. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Point number seven. As a mom, I must treat all my kids fairly, because unfairness will cause my kids to be jealous of each other. And that is promoting division in our home instead of unity. Not good. It's easy when you have one child that listen to favor him over the other child that's always naughty. But God wants us to discipline correctly and treat our kids fairly. Love, unity, and fairness is important so that our kids love each other and not be jealous of insecure of each other, others loved by their mommy. So I use the scripture to help me be a fair mommy. Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Number 8. Mommies care for their families. If I don't care for my family, then I am careless with what God has given me. I pray that God help me to be a caring mom. Proverbs 31:27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Gospel for grandparent mothers, I've got for you today that you must always, in everything that you do, be a godly mom. And always remember these nuggets and meditate on that so that you can be a good mom for your children. Thank you, Angelina.
Wow, Myrtle. Myself can draw from that. Absolutely amazing. Gospel for Grampian Moms. I think Myrtle's given you an inspiring motivation to be a good mother. She's given you scripture and our own personal life spoken as a true matriarch. Thank you, precious Myrtle. Now to our beautiful Nelly, who's our royal businesswoman. Nelly, I'm reminded in Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds your business, those who build it build in vain. And unless the Lord guards your business, those who praise or watch over your business guard it in vain. Talk to us, royal business woman. How do you do business God's way?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Great to speak to you all, grumpy listeners. You know, I love God the way He does things. As you gave us this topic of a Proverb 31 woman, I love it because God, in His infinite wisdom, He laid out the life of a woman in this scripture. Verse 13, it says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. So Satan tried to show us as believers that women, our place is in the kitchen. The devil has perverted this plan of God that we must be helpers. Our help is like we can't go out, and we can't go out in the marketplace to go and work. But God has shown us here in the book of Proverbs that we can go out and start doing business. We can take care of our families. And by doing that, that doesn't mean that now we are above men. By doing business as women who are anointed by God, we know our place. As we bring things in our families, we bring them because God has enabled us to do that. And we still hold on to our positions as women. The things that are happening in the boardroom outside my house, I must not bring them in my house. When I'm in my house, I become the wife, the mother, I become the grandmother. But when I'm outside there, that's when I become a businesswoman anointed by God. So the way I do business, I must do business being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 19, 13, Jesus is saying to us, do business until I come. And when you look at that statement, Jesus was not talking to a man or a woman. He was talking to us as the saints, as the children of God, that we must do business until we come. So it is very important for us to understand that as women, as we go out and do business, there are things that we must do the godly way, because we are living in the season right now where these movements like feminists, they are fighting for their rights. But I have realized that I cannot fight for my rights because God already gave me rights. I know who I am. I know where I stand. Proverbs 31 is the one that gave me rights as a woman, that God is, the Bible says to me that I am a woman that is wise, that will wake up early, that will take care of her family, that my husband will be praised in the city because of me. That's the rights that I'm enjoying and understanding that I am a helper to my husband. I don't have to walk according to the standard of the world, that when I'm in outside there doing business, I must start fighting for my rights as a woman. I don't have to do that. I just allow God to bring business to me. I just allow God to be the one that is going to make me to meet people who are going to bring business in my life. So it's very important that in everything that we do, as we continue to do business, we first talk to our Father, because He's the one that gave us even the ideas to do business. He understands the people that must come our way. So we have to spend time with Him and pray and say, Lord, as I'm doing this business, because the Bible says many are the plans of the man's heart, but it is the Lord that makes them to prosper. It's very important that if you are a business person, all the plans that you have, roll them unto God, and He will make them succeed. Because without Him making them succeed, you're going to fall in the trap of this world. As we know that in this world that we are living in, when you do business, there's a lot of red tapes. Especially to us, if they know that you are a child of God, if they know that you are a person that fears God, They make sure that there's a red tape for you. There are places that you cannot just go in. There's a lot of things that are happening. But with God, we know that He will always open a door for us. I remember when I started my business, it's amazing that I didn't even have a registered a business on paper. You know, but I used to love business, but I didn't know how to start the business. And it just happened one day, me and my husband, we were coming from fetching our first son from school. And we just found a paper under our door at home. And the next thing, when we look, we were invited to come to partake in a certain business. That's when my business started 23 years ago. So every time when I meet trouble on the way, when challenges, they come my way, I always go to God. I say, remember, this business, it's not mine. It belongs to you. You are the one that gave me. And if you say, where I am right now, it is done. It will be done. But if you, Lord, you are not saying anything, people, they can come and fight. Whoever can try to destroy, still, it's still standing. Why? It's because I have learned that the business that I have, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. So as children of God, we need to understand that every time when we go out to a marketplace, we are not going alone. We are going with Him. And our God is the God that knows everything that is happening. And He will make sure that He will put you with right people. He will make sure that He will make you to meet the right people that will elevate your business and take it to the highest place. Thank you, Angelina. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you, precious Nelly. You know, I love what you're saying. We can hear from what Nelly is saying, Myrtle, that we drink of the same vine. That we always say, Myrtle and I, Holy Spirit is the CEO of this business because He is the one that directs our footsteps so that we do not fight against flesh and blood, because like you say, that it is so easy for Christian businesses to be challenged because the enemy comes against us because he knows that whatever we do is a God vision for the extension of God's kingdom on the earth. So you will always use people to stop the opportunities, but God. That is why we need to apply Psalms 127, like Nelly says, when we let God build our business, no one can come against us. No one can stand against the agenda of the Lord. And we thank the Lord that He protects us so that every business deal that He closes is protecting us. Like Myrtle always says, rejection is redirection. So businesswomen out there, hear from Nelly, 23 years a businesswoman, and says that yes, challenges do come to businesswomen, but if you allow God to lead your company and let Him be the owner of the company, while in the natural you might be the owner, but if you surrender ownership to the Lord and pass it back to God, He will direct you and no weapon formed against your business shall prosper. Thank you, precious Nelly. And now to our royal wife, Shanaz. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is above rubies. Talk to us, because we are seeing so much of women today losing their identity to insecurities, to popularity, to identity crisis. And because of them being rejected and abused, they don't know how to take their place in their homes. And Jezebel comes in, or false humility kicks in, and they become a slave in their homes. How do you behave as a royal wife?
Thank you, Angelina, and good day to the listeners again. I think, you know, the world currently puts so much attention on the outward appearance of a woman. And exactly as you read the scripture, a wealth is not in the rubies itself. It's far above that. And when you as a wife, you don't know your self-worth, you can easily get lost in this. If Jesus is not the light of your world, you cannot be the light for your marriage, for your husband. And so it's so important that you have to understand who you are in Christ. And I think Myrtle also touched on it earlier as well. If we don't know who we are in Christ, that we will believe that how we adorn ourselves outwardly will gain the trust of our husbands, which is such a lie, because We can only gain the trust of our husband when we are in Christ and when we have good moral standards, when we have the ability to show that we are trustworthy, we're ethical, and we're noble. We're not self-seeking. And I think the world is putting this picture out there that how you adorn yourself, how you dress on the outward is far more important than your morals, which is totally a lie. It actually doesn't create trust with your husband. And I think this is something that I learned in my marriage as well, Angelina and the listeners. You know that my husband could only gain my trust not based on how I looked, but what I demonstrated. It's the fruits that I bear that will basically give you trust in your relationship with your husband. It also speaks about, in verse 12, it says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So a virtuous wife here is somebody that's caring, that's nurturing. She's somebody that's praying for her husband. And you know, when you walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus, he will give you specific scriptures to pray for your husband as well. Because there's times that the Lord will make you sensitive to understand what your husband is going through. It's remembering that our husbands are not always able to speak to us because they're not as emotional beings as we are as women. And so they'll probably be quiet and withdraw. But it's through you seeking the Lord and praying for your husband that God will give you specific scriptures to pray for your husband. And this is what makes one a virtuous wife. It's also our role to motivate our husbands. We have to be the voice that encourages them as well. We are there as, I think Nelly also early said, that we are not in competition with our husbands as well. You know, that we need to be the one that's motivating our husbands. They go through so much difficulty, and I think that's what also makes you a virtuous wife as well. So many a times the Lord has really just blessed me where he's given me specific verses to pray for my husband. And I think, you know, this is what's needed from us as wives, is to be standing in the gap, praying for our husbands. We shouldn't be quarrelsome. We shouldn't be rebellious and also loud and boisterous. But we should have this quiet, gentle spirit praying for our husbands. Sometimes it's not so much as talking to them, but talking to Abba Father that will solve the situation for your husband or in your marriage as well. And I think, you know, as a wife, we have a tremendous ability to influence. This is what the Lord has gifted us with. And we should use this influence so that our husbands can become the men of God that God has designed them to be. We shouldn't influence them so that we can benefit from it. Like Queen Esther, I mean, she had the ability to influence the king. When she seek the Lord, we can see how much wisdom she had. See, she seek God, and God gave favor with the king. And when she had the opportunity, she didn't use it for self-gain, but she used it for the underprivileged, the people that were oppressed. And so too, as wives, we have this ability to influence, but we should do it for the glory and honor of God. And I just love how she feared God. And this is what a virtuous wife is. Someone who fears God, that puts God first in everything that she does. And before she does anything, she seeks the Lord. And when she can influence, she does so, so that God can be glorified and not man. I think that's for me the most important, Angelina, that we as women, as a wife, you have the ability to influence and you do it all to the glory of the Lord. And I think, that's where I want to leave it for the listeners this evening. I hope it's going to encourage them as well, those who potentially want to be a wife one day, that it starts with being in Jesus Christ firstly. He will give you the ability, the wisdom, the ability to care, to nurture, and to influence for His glory. Thank you, Angelina.
Wow, absolutely refreshing. Also motivating to me as a wife of 10 years, coming from two previous messed up divorces out of rebellion. I really was touched by you, Shanaz, because it's teaching me how to be a good wife. I agree with you. It is not easy, and therefore we have to walk this journey with Christ to be good wives. I like the scripture, Shanaz, that says that wives submit to your husbands as you submit unto the Lord. I think when we understand how to joyfully and lovingly and humbly submit to Jesus, it helps us to be able to submit to an imperfect human being who is imperfect like us. You know, a lot of times we expect our husband to be Christ and they can't. But if we understand that God loves us in all our imperfections, then it helps us to be able to submit to an imperfect human being and vice versa. So thank you so much, wonderful Shanaz, for teaching us how to be good wives and to honor the marriage covenant, because it is not easy. I mean, if you look at the statistics around divorce, it is so prevalent throughout the world because people don't have the grace till death do you part to stay in the marriage. And I know that we need the grace of God to do that. Without God, we cannot be committed into a relationship that has highs and lows, because Satan comes to destroy the marriage covenant, because he knows that two is greater than one. Two can conquer 10,000, one a few. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, please take advantage of the wonderful nuggets that our royal moms and our royal single professionals, our royal businesswomen have shared to you today. As we end our wonderful session of Let Her Own Works Praise Her at the City Gates, I want to just quickly ask our speakers, I'm giving you 30 seconds, give something inspirational to our listeners today as we end this evening. Let us start with Sharon.
Thank you, Angelina. To all our listeners and to all our single professionals, I want to say you are called, you are anointed, you are appointed, and you are loved of God. And there is for you a place at the table of God. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Sharon. Royal businesswoman, Nelly.
The word that I would love to give to the listeners, it's where Paul is urging the believers to increase in their love, to be sanctified by focusing on their own businesses and working hard at their own jobs rather than becoming burdens to others. So as children of God, let us be hands-on, let us depend on God, and let us work. Thank you.
I love what Nelly's saying. You can hear the businesswoman coming out on her Proverbs 31 woman. She doesn't let her light go out at night. Talk to us, royal wife, Shanaz.
Thank you, Angelina. I'd like to leave this words with the listeners this evening, Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learner, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learner. So as a wife this evening, let the Lord give you a word to speak in season to your husband when you are weary. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shanaz. And to our matriarch. Oh, I just love Myrtle's inspiration. Mom Myrtle. Talk to the gospel Grampian motherhood out there.
Angelina, I want to tell the mothers out there, don't make an idol of your house, make it a home, so that everybody can feel God in the home. So please, put God first in your house, and more of God, less of you. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Mom Myrtle. And now, as we end our wonderful Let Her Own Works Praise Her at the City Gates, to our Gospel for Grampian listeners and our podcast and Podbean listeners, this is our design as women. God has created us as royal daughters, and He has given us purpose on the earth. And I'm reminded about Genesis 3:20. We women create natural light. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. So, dear ladies, young girls, women, don't lose your identity through gender confusion. You lose your ability to bring life the natural way when you have an identity crisis. If God gave you the female body, then understand you have the ability and the power to create natural life, and don't go mess up with your creation. And then I'm also reminded in Luke 8:48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith had made you whole. Go in peace. And this talks to me. It says to me, as a daughter of God, we ought to walk in faith, peace, and comfort and health, because God designed us to live as such. Faith in God rewards us with the standard of peace, comfort, and a healthy life. So as we end today, Gospel for Grampian listeners, you are the royal daughters. Your father is Abba Father, and he sits in the throne room, and you have free liberty to enter into that throne room of grace at any time, and you sit at the right hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus. I pray that this inspiration will help every single hearer on Gospel for Grampian listeners that are women and young girls to rise up and be the royal daughters that King Lemuel's mom talks about, because that is the design that God has made us. From us to you, until next week. We love you. Bye-bye.